Lord Jesus, I bring this sermon before you. The truth of the matter is I don't know where it's going to go because I'm now doing a different word to the one I'd planned. But God, I bring this sermon before you. And first of all, I pray that you will speak to me. Because God, this is on the things you've been saying to me over the last few weeks. And so I open my heart to you afresh for anointing, asking you to speak to me. But also, God, I pray that these words will be for this church, that these will be things that bless and encourage and transform our lives because we want to know you more. We want to know you and be known by you. We want to be swept under the waterfall of your grace. We want you. So, God, I bring my heart before you now. And God, I ask you to speak to me again and through me again. Lead us closer to you through these words. I don't even know what I'm going to say. But lead us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's a funny one sometimes when you're a preacher, because you prepare a sermon and all through the weeks, that sermon changes shape. And ultimately, you wind up with 1, 2, 3 possible different sermons. And then you wind up with going none of the above. There really is some humor to what God does sometimes. A few weeks ago, Adi was speaking and she used an image that just captivated my heart. God of the overflow. And that image has been transforming my life these last couple of weeks, to be honest with you, Adi. You have no idea how much power that image has had. Today I'll be exploring some of what that image has meant to me. Some of what it's actually just come to mean to me through today's worship even. Because it's that fresh, what God's saying. And he's not done using the image and the idea of it yet. So it's quite possible in a year's time I'll be speaking on it again. And you'll sit there thinking, why didn't you say that a year ago? Because I didn't know it. But it's a phrase that's been transforming my understanding of God, utterly reshaping my relationship with him. And as we've been worshiping today, I've just kept coming back to it and I felt I have to share it. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to share it by using this image. This is Niagara Falls. It's a place that I'd love to go. Dave tells me he's been there, and yeah, I'm jealous. Doesn't it look gorgeous? Look at the water cascading down. And that's the image that's kept coming to my mind as I've thought and prayed over this, as I've been using animate, really, to meditate on it. So I want to draw you a picture with words now. You can use that to help you. But I want you to picture that we as a church are stood at the edge of a vast lake, just like at the bottom of the waterfall there. This vast lake stretches out, but in the distance, you can see the waterfall. You can already hear the roar of the waters. But we're not too close yet. We're just stood on the beach, on the shore, looking as this beautiful waterfall plunges miles down, looking at the steam and spray as it strikes the surface of the lake, watching in awe as we look at the majesty of this experience. It's beautiful. Imagine those clouds of spray shooting up into the sky and the light falling into those water droplets, refracting into glittering rainbows. It's beautiful beyond compare. But we're just stood at the shore. That waterfall is God himself. He's the overflow that Adi spoke of. You see, when we speak of God of the overflow, it suddenly captured my heart with this idea, not of God just as a God who gives, but of a God who overflows with giving, who pours himself out. That's how generous he is. Let me use a theological word for the overflow. It's a word I love. I've spoken on it so many times, but I never thought of it in this way. God's overflow is his grace. The riches of his grace. The abundant, exceeding riches of his grace poured out continually to us. And because his very nature is overflow, God's grace isn't just what he does, it's who he is. And so the cross wasn't just a demonstration of God's grace. It was a revelation of his character as the God of grace, supreme over all sin and shame and all the powers of hell. The overflow is God's grace. And as I focused on that idea, I remembered the Psalms. Countless Psalms use the phrase, blessed is, blessed is, blessed is. Now, Charles Spurgeon, when he wrote his Treasury of David, a commentary on the Psalms, I'll never forget how he described that word, blessed. He argued it should be translated, all blessedness. All blessedness. And I'd always pictured that as God's grace, and suddenly I thought, all blessedness, that is God's grace. And therefore it is also his overflow, his character poured out to us. All blessedness he desires to give. Now, I won't lie. My first thought then was, careful, Tom, you don't want to go too far with that. Don't want to go prosperity gospel-ish. Don't like that idea. No. And then I remembered in Revelation. In Revelation, the first few chapters, God promises that he will give things to him who overcomes. The supreme promise to me, I will give you the morning star. I love that. Because in Revelation, you know what the morning star is a symbol for? Him. The ultimate blessing that God wants to give is himself. Our material wealth, yeah, he desires good for us. But that comes second to his desire to pour out himself. His character, his love, his nature desires to be poured out into our lives like cascading waterfalls, sweeping into our hearts. Yeah. He desires to give us himself. He is the first and ultimate blessing that we could ever have. We could be the poorest people on the planet, but if we have Christ, we're richer than kings. We could be people who we seem on the outside to want for everything, but we know him. And so, Bill Gates, he's got nothing on us. Nothing. We could have everything in the world, but not have him. And we would be paupers. Because we'd want for the only thing that is truly needful. And so God reminded me, no, when I say all blessedness, yeah, there's all the other things that come from it, but the ultimate blessedness is me. Knowing me, drawing near to me, being filled to overflowing by me. I'm the blessedness that I want you to seek. Don't seek after wealth. Don't seek after prosperity. Don't seek after health. All those things are good. That's fine. But seek after me above everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. But today, the image changed a bit as we talked. It changed because of the song that we sang, Your Grace Abounds in Deepest Waters. And I shared some of that image before, but I can't help sharing more. This idea of you stood at the edge of the lake, looking out at the waterfall. You know what? That's not where God wants you to be. Maybe the spray is powerful enough that you're catching some of the spray. That's wonderful. But unless you step out into the water, you'll never get to the place where the water cascades. You see, there is nothing to fear by walking up right up to this waterfall. If you walked up to a waterfall like this in the real world, you'd be crushed beneath the weight. You'd be dashed underneath, swept deep into the plunge pool that's beneath the waterfall. You'd be a goner. The waterfall of God. What he desires us to do is to step out across the water to him. And as I thought on that, I'm loving this because I don't know what I'm going to say next. You know, it occurs to me that for Peter, the real wonderful thing wasn't that he walked on water at all. We look at the wrong thing. It was that he was walking towards Jesus. We think that the miracle was his feet walking somehow on this flowing liquid beneath him. No. The miracle was that he had a desire to be near his Lord. If it is you, command me to come. He wanted to be with Jesus. The experience of walking on water wasn't the goal. It was the means to the end. And in exactly the same way, God says, right, I'm calling you to walk on water. I'm calling you to take those steps of faith. But you know what? The walking on water, that's just the means to the end. It's because I want you to get to the waterfall. I want you to get to the place where the water is cascading around you, where the roar of the waterfall drowns out all of the sound, where you're sodden, soaked through, where you breathe in and you breathe in the spray of the waterfall. That's where I want you to be. Walking on water, that's not the goal. That's just the means to the end. And I am the end that you seek. Because I want you to come to the place of the overflow, to catch that overflow, to be filled with that overflow, and to overflow in turn. What on earth does this have to do with unity? We're doing a series on unity at the minute. Well, I'm hoping you think this is a gorgeous image and that this is really speaking to you. It's speaking to me because I'm learning things I've never learned before as I'm speaking. But what does this have to do with unity? Everything. You see, Peter, he stepped out on the water alone. That's not what God is calling us to do. He wants us to be a people who take the risk of stepping into the impossible, because it is in the impossible that he is found. It is when we take the risk that he proves his faithfulness and we draw near to him. Now, obviously, there are right risks and there are wrong risks. You know, you have to actually go to God in prayer and say, God, is this where you're wanting me to go in my life? But you don't go alone. He wants us to be a community of risk, a community who together as a church are characterized by a bold decision to take a strong stride into that situation, into the unknown, across the water, towards the waterfall, motivated by our hunger and our thirst and our passion to know him more. That's the kind of community he wants his church to be. Now, it's even better than that. Last week, I talked about a situation where, let's be honest, I've realized since then, I've been faltering because God was probably pushing me for the last 4 or 5 months to take certain steps in my own life. And it's not the first time. I tend to be the kind who I'm beginning to realize in the past, I take faltering steps. I know what God wants, and I do it, but only when I'm pushed. You know, he's there like, come on, get out of the co-op. Come on, take your steps in your life. Come on. Well, I'll wait until I'm at the very last second, and it's really the pressure's on, and I've got to make a really tight choice. Okay, now I'll step out. Come on, just, you know what I want. I'm speaking to you. Take the step of faith. But you know what? Since then, since I took that step, since I mentioned it last week, people have come around me. And I've been so blessed, so encouraged, so strengthened. And that's been amazing. People have stepped in, people from this church, and given me the encouragement and the support I needed to work out what the heck I'm supposed to be doing and to actually take those steps. I'd made the choice in my heart to step out, but without this church, it wouldn't happen. Or if it did, it'd be a rad old mess. The step of faith is possible precisely because I am in community with other people who desire me to step out in faith to the place where God is found and who desire the best for me. In exactly the same way, when you have something in your life where God is saying, step out, you are in a community of believers who desire you to step out, who are rooting for you, who will support you in every way they can to get you to the place where God is found, where you're drenched in Him. We overcomplicate things sometimes. We assume that those steps of faith are matters of, well, if I'm going to evangelize to this person, God is interested in every aspect of our lives. And we can step out in faith in our practical, everyday decisions just as much as we can anywhere else. When Jesus became flesh, He lived as an everyday man. And I believe with all my heart that by doing that, He sanctified human experience. He took the unholy that people had thought was separate from God, and He said, behold, holiness now lives within this. And then when He gave His Spirit, that means His Spirit dwells in me. When I do anything in my life, God's Spirit is within me. I bring God into the most mundane of activities. When I'm shopping, I hate shopping, but when I'm shopping, God's with me because His Spirit is in me. When I'm making the choices for my career, God's with me because I bring Him into it. Every part of my life should be characterized by step of faith because I import God into it with me in exactly the same way. There is no part of your life that God isn't interested in. You think God's Spirit leaves you when you're sleeping? No. You sleep to the glory of God. You think God's Spirit leaves you when you're working? You work to the glory of God. You shop to the glory of God. Whatever you do, whether it's eating or drinking, sleeping, shopping, talking, walking, do it all to the glory of God. And so the idea of stepping out across the waters and being bold in your faith, it isn't just reserved for spiritual activities. It's for every part of our lives. And the beauty of it is that as we step out across those waters towards that cascading waterfall where the overflow of God's nature is poured out to us, all parts of our life, we step out and they become filled with Him. Imagine for a second, imagine that you go to the pub for a drink, and while you're there at the pub, someone turns to you and says, I want to know God. Sounds absurd, but you know what? Paul could walk down a street, just go for a stroll, and people would come to him wanting to know Christ. Why? Because he offered everything, even the mundane task of just walking down a street, he offered to God. Imagine you're at work and trouble hits, but God, you know I need to step out in here. I'm at peace. I will not be afraid. I will trust you in this. You know what? People look at you and they say, Whoa, how's he doing that? I spoke on walking on water a couple of years ago when I was still at the bank. And a couple of days after, I was in Manchester. A friend, Rob, asked me, so what were you doing over the weekend? And I suddenly realised, you know what? Well, I was speaking at church, actually. Oh, what were you speaking on? And suddenly, on level 5, the main office with function leaders around, I'm there, and for 20 minutes, I basically summed up the sermon that I just preached. And as I talked, other people wandered up and started listening. And they knew that that word was personal because I was talking about stepping out into a place of fear and how God was keeping you confident in difficult troubles. And they knew I was facing redundancy at the time. And they knew that I was speaking about my own heart. And so I literally had about 12, 15 people, including function leaders, stood there listening as I talked about what God was doing. I'd taken a step of faith in my everyday working life. And I didn't realize it, but as I'd done it, I'd stepped into the place where the water was pouring out. And suddenly it was pouring out in a way I could never have expected. You don't need to speak at church in front of people to take your steps of faith. You have your own gifts, your own ministries, your own lives, and I know for a fact that God works in and through you in your own lives. You just have to take that in. And then, when the situation is there, step out across the water. As you do, you'll come to the place where God is found, where the overflow of his waterfall sweeps down upon you, cascades. And that's the image I've just been meditating on all week. I don't normally like showers, I like baths. When I was a child, we didn't actually have a shower. So when I came to university, showers were strange, uncomfortable things that I just did not like. And so the minute we moved out of halls, I was there, right, any house I move into, it has to have a bath, just has to. I can't get up without a bath in the morning. Other people have showers, I have baths. And that was even the case when it was work. I'd get up an hour early so I could have a nice long soak. But this week I've actually had a shower. And the reason's been because I wanted the experience of it. Because it just reminded me. And I actually turned the temperature down so it was actually a cold shower. And I just stood under the shower picturing it. Imagine that water just hammering down upon me. 100 times more than that. That's what the waterfall is like. And I just started thinking, that is what I want, where your water is spraying down, sweeping down upon me. Where every inch of me is soaked by the waterfall of who God is. Of God's nature, God's character, God's power, God's beauty. Yes, there are blessings that I need in my life. But he's the blessing I want. Amen. More than anything else. Yes, I'm taking a step of faith into situations where I don't quite know how the bank balance is going to work. But he's the blessing I want. Habakkuk. I always remember Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom and no fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the sheep be cut off from the flock, yet I will rejoice in God my Savior. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He raises me up to the heights. I tell you, whatever circumstance you are in, whether things work well, whether things are troublesome, whether this month is a good one or a difficult one, a trial or a celebration, I tell you, you can rejoice in the God of your salvation. Because he is worth more than your circumstances. Step out in faith. Whether it seems to go well at first or badly. Whether you see the wind like Peter did. or you actually don't, and you don't even notice what you're doing. Step out, because his grace abounds in deepest waters. His nature is revealed in deepest waters. Make him your goal. You want to know him more? Here's how. Step out along that lake. Don't try with a boat. Step out to the water until the spray is everywhere, until he fills your vision. Step out. Take risks in faith. Be bold, not faltering. No. None of that. Because if you walk like that, you'll get to the same place in the end, but oh, it'll take so long. He's the goal. So step out boldly. And yeah, as I've said, I'm speaking to myself with that command, because I'm naturally a person who... But I'm not happy with that. That's not enough. And as I realized, he's my goal, I realized, no, that's not the life I want to live anymore. That's not who I want to be anymore. The Tom who takes months to actually get around to the thing that God's obviously been pushing him to in the first place. That's not enough. And I believe it's not enough for us as a church either. Because we need to step into that place where we meet him. We become closer to him than we've ever been before. Where we truly experience the God of the overflow. May God bless this word to our hearts.